want your soul.
First off, I need to state that I'm a man whose faith is that of science. I believe in germ theory and general relativity. The supernatural is not my ballgame. It never has been. I am skeptical of all things that people think can't be explained with science. I grew up with a Bible-thumping father and no mother, because apparently sepsis is all part of God's plan. My mom died at home with a fever of more than 105 degrees. My dad didn't believe in theories, not medicine or Cro-Magnon man. There was just God and his plan. Although I'd like to think my father had no influence on my life, I suppose all this led me to where I am now. I'm the head of the anthropology department at a large southern university. My work, my life, it's all rock, dust, and carbon dating. Tables laid with tangible bones far older than 5,000 years with computer data to prove it. My father said such things were put in the dirt by the devil. Fossil records were nothing but a test of faith. I hate the man that he is now, but now I'm wondering if somehow, like a broken clock being right twice a day, that bastard was right. Anthropologists aren't usually the recipients of late-night business calls, so when my work cell rang at 11 o'clock, I figured I'd either been butt-dialed or it was another spam call about a vehicle warranty. I answered all the same. "Hello? This is Professor Hinckley," I said. "Professor, this is Deputy Nick Caper. I'm with the Oconee County Sheriff's Office. I'm sorry to bother you at this hour, sir. You were recommended to me by the folks at Clemson. I didn't specialize in forensic anthropology, but I'd done work for the state in the past when human remains of Native people were found. I must admit, calls like this made me feel important." So I puffed out my chest and tried to shake the sleep out of my voice. "Oh, hello, yes. How may I help you, young man?" I said out loud. "Young man," I cringed. I wasn't even 50. Who was I trying to be? This cop was probably older than I was. "Sir, we're trying to stay ahead of the press on this, so your discretion would be greatly appreciated. Someone's dog wandered off on a walk in Sumter and came back with a femur in his mouth." "Oh," I said. "Yeah, well, the owner went looking to see where he fetched it from and found some human remains. They're old, so we're not talking about murder or at least any kind of active investigation, but the thing is, there's a lot of them." "I see. A lot of bones, you mean?" "Yes, sir. Dozens. As in dozens of bodies. The problem is, it doesn't seem to be a burial ground. The dead folks, well, they're wearing Western-style clothes, shirts and trousers and such. We did some research and read that mass graves of bodies all piled on each other like this would be peculiar." It would," I said as I pinched my nose. "I take it you need someone to come out and take a look?" "We'd be very grateful if you did. You can bring whoever you like. We just need this identified before our little town gets overrun by the media types filling the bars, if you know what I'm saying." "Yeah, I understand. That's not a problem. But the county that you mentioned isn't familiar. Where did you say you were from?" "Oh, don't worry. That's just how we like it here. We're in Western South Carolina, Sumter National Forest. I'll email you all the details," he said. "Okay," I sighed. "I think I can get there tomorrow, but it'll be somewhat later in the day, 5 p.m. or so. I'll bring my team with me," I explained. My team, I cringed again. It was a fancy term for a couple of broke graduate students. "Well, I'll tell the sheriff, thank you, Professor." "Great, I'll tell the sheriff, thank you, Professor. Apologies again for calling so late." "Oh, don't worry about it. Bye-bye now." I hung up and Googled Sumter National Forest. That part of the park in Oconee County was isolated. I clicked my thumbnail in my teeth. Western-style clothing? I figured it could be the mass grave from an old epidemic that hit some settlers. But most of those clothes would be so deteriorated by now, I'm not sure what's going on. Everything about this felt very strange, from the phone call to the circumstances. Who at Clemson would recommend me anyways? It was Friday and I hoped my team, Meredith and Casey, weren't going to be too hungover to work as I went back to sleep. The three of us carpooled and hit the road around 3 p.m. It was a later start than I'd have liked, but we would be at an address the deputy sent me around 6 p.m. As it turned out, the address that was sent to me was more of a crude waypoint. The bodies found were nearly 400 feet from a trail, and I had thought we were lost until I saw a trailhead parking lot with a few law enforcement vehicles in it. We got out of the car and stretched our legs. We had several large bags of excavation equipment, and hauling them off trail would be a hell of a workout. I was beginning to regret even saying yes to this. Still, the circumstances were intriguing. This grave would be the site of some previously unknown event in early American history. I tried to tell myself that I should be excited. I should quit acting like such an old man, too. I met with the sheriff, deputy caper, and a few county clerks that were simply curious. The hike in wasn't as strenuous as I thought it would be. It was entirely flat, but the bramble we had to wade through had strewn my skin with scrapes. I was actually blinking away a little blood by the time we got there. The dig site itself was very clear. All the bushes and even small trees had all been sawn away, leaving an open patch of land about the size of a two-car garage. The ground was slightly dug up, a ring of earth lay around the mass grave, and I immediately noticed something was off. The bones that were visible were blackened, as if they were burnt. Their clothing had curled up from flames, and what little of the cotton was left was bunched and still dirty. There were patterns, and that's how I could see that it was preserved. Still, I could tell the clothing was certainly not native. I looked at Deputy Caper with my mouth slightly agape. "These bodies have been burnt," I said. He looked to the sheriff. "I told you, Sheriff, ain't no way dirt and time does that to skeletons," he said. The sheriff huffed. "Well, you're no archaeologist, Nick, so what do you think it was?" The sheriff then looked at me, expectantly, as if I should have already known the answers. "I don't know. Some kind of sickness or massacre? I'm not sure yet." "Well, how old are they, do you think?" he said. I glared at him and repeated myself. "I have no idea. They look old, though." "Like 1700s? I nodded. "These fossils are very, very old." "Well, that's certainly past the statute of limitations. Hell, South Carolina might not have even been a state at that point. And Oconee County wasn't even a twinkle in this country's eye. Not much we can do here, is there?" he said. I wanted this buffoon gone, so I nodded again. "We'll work on it until it gets dark and get an early start tomorrow. I'll update you as we learn anything. In the meantime, I'd appreciate it if you reached out to someone with the South Carolina Historical Society. I can date the bones, but I won't be able to tell you what they were doing here. And the clothing patterns burned into the soil, I'm not sure about that either." The sheriff hiked up his utility belt. "We actually tried that already. They didn't answer when we called Friday night. We left a message, but we expect we'll hear back Monday. We also contacted a couple of other universities, but no one wanted to come out on the weekend," he said. Meredith and Casey looked at me peeved as they hadn't exactly wanted to come either, but I suggested it might help their grades. I stood straight and cleared my throat. I didn't think I was a chump for giving up my weekend to investigate a find of this importance. I thought it was Southern Society's fault, not mine, for being more interested in barbecues than mass burials on a Saturday. "Well, they're missing out," I said. "This is certainly extraordinary." "Nothing we need to be concerned about, though, right?" the sheriff asked. The two cops seemed listless. They wanted to be dismissed. I sighed, almost disappointed. I don't think so. Probably not." "Okay, well, we're out of here then. The wife's been looking after the brisket today, so I'm going to go ahead and head out, and fingers crossed." The sheriff crossed his fingers then. The deputy unfurled a length of crime scene tape and started wrapping it around the trees as they walked back. "So you can find your way to the trail then?" he nodded at the tape. "It gets awfully dark out here." "Yeah, it's not a problem. Thank you," I said. The deputy suddenly frowned. "And Professor, are you staying at the Days Inn in Walhalla?" "No, we're not staying in Walhalla. We found a little bed and breakfast in Pleasant Falls, just 10 minutes or so from here." The sheriff laughed and shook his head while the deputy's eyes widened. "Pleasant Falls? There's a B&B there?" "Yeah, that's right," and I was feeling a little defensive at this point. "It's cheap as all hell," I said. "I bet. Just so you know, the folks are a little bit kooky over there." "Kooky?" blurted out Meredith. "Well, the rumor is that everybody in that town's got the same great-grandparents, if you catch my drift. There's about 23 of them, too. Pleasant Falls ain't a town, it's a hamlet." "Well, we're just sleeping there. It's better to stay closer to the worksite anyways. It makes our early mornings all the easier. It's not like we're going to go to the bar there. We're just sleeping there, that's all," I explained. "All right, well, I just thought I'd give you a heads up. The Days Inn in town always has vacancy too, so if you change your mind, you get uncomfortable, just drive right over there." I nodded at both of them. "Thanks, gentlemen." They then disappeared into the woods, and we began unpacking some of our equipment. In the darkening woods, it took us far longer to get set up than I had thought. I realized they were likely the newest bones I'd ever dealt with professionally, and I was used to brown and yellow skulls. There were a lot of fragmented remains here where I'd pieced the bones of ancient peoples back together like a puzzle, and here I was out of my depth. I was certain then, as interesting as it was, that I shouldn't have agreed to come. I squinted and moved parts of a skeleton as if I knew what I was doing. The remains appear to be Anglo settlers, I said, but I only reached that conclusion contextually. There was nothing in a single skull that looked like anything I could be sure of. I needed time, and daylight, and finally some lab work to figure this out and wrap my arms around it. I had Meredith and Casey pack up the valuable things that we wouldn't leave overnight, and soon we were back in the car driving to our bed and breakfast. The town we arrived to was nestled at the end of a dirt road. A dead-end sign sat shot, pocked with bullet holes at the entrance. Marilyn looked at me, confused and concerned. "It's fine," I said, trying to contain some anger. "All we're doing is sleeping here, guys. Kids shoot up everything out here anyways. It's not damnatory the entire town." I scrunched my eyes and then cringed. "Well, damnatory or not," said Casey, "this place is a shithole." As if on cue, a pack of pigs darted across the dirt road and disappeared behind a derelict chapel. Its white paint was peeling, its steeple slightly bent. "Well, if you're looking for the Ritz-Carlton, you picked the wrong major," I said. I pulled angrily into the dirt driveway of the B&B. The house didn't look horrible. The paint was fresher than most of the other buildings, and the nice sign they had in front looked like someone put labor into making it a presentable business. We got out of the car and all wheeled around. The town was deserted. Even though the population was only a couple of dozen, it was still kind of disturbing and weird. A curious flock of chickens bobbed across the grass towards us. "I vote we go to the Days Inn. I don't want to stay at this place." "Even disgusting and filthy bedsheets beat this place," said Meredith. I was about to give her an earful before she spoke again. "And look at that freak show," she whispered. I followed her gaze to see a man walking towards us from behind the chapel. "Hello," he waved strangely. The boots he wore were unlaced and he had a bowl cut. We all looked at each other before returning a wave, and he came right up to us and paused. "Hello there," I said. "I booked a room here for the night. Do you work here?" "Oh, no, I don't," he then shook his head. "I see." I noticed it was difficult for him to look me in the eye when he spoke. His teeth took my attention too, like a train wreck, hard to look away. They were horribly crooked and the color of butter. "You're here for that grave then, aren't you?" he asked. I had to unfurl my brow to be polite. The man's accent was a little strange. I couldn't place it, and I had to think after he spoke to figure out what he'd said. "The grave?" "Yeah, I wasn't aware it was public information," I said. Meredith and Casey were both uncomfortable and had slyly stepped further away from the man. "Oh, well, there's no secrets out in these parts," he smiled, and again I was entranced by those teeth. "I knew there was a grave out there long before yous all dug it up. It's an old legend here," he said. I wanted this hillbilly to leave us alone, but now I was a little more intrigued. I stepped towards him. "Is that so? Well, how's that? How did you know about it? What's the legend?" He sighed as if he was pleased that he got to tell his story. "This place had a name that's been long forgotten. Far Wales. That's what the settlers called it when they first came here all those hundreds of years ago. Thing is, they weren't alone in these woods. There were others living here. Spirits, demons, you pick a name, whatever you want to call them, but they weren't human. They looked it, though. Skinwalkers of some sort." The man paused and seemed to wipe a grin off his face. "Anyhow, instead of just leaving, when they figured out they weren't the first people, they did what those new countrymen did best. They invited them all to a dinner in a shack, locked the doors, and burnt the place to the ground. They buried the remains somewhere out there in those woods," he explained. "Well, it looks like your town's folklore is somewhat accurate," I said. "Oh, I know, but that's not the interesting part. The legend went on to say that one of them didn't die right away. He lived at least long enough to talk to his killers." "Well, what did he say?" Meredith and Casey were now leaning forward to listen. "He said that if their bones were ever to see the light of day, his people would grow flesh like trees do leaves, and they'd rise up from the dirt and slaughter those townsmen. They'd slaughter everyone, every last settler of this new world." I saw a couple of women in the window of the church now. They laughed when I caught their eye and ducked beneath the sill. My cheeks flushed and I exhaled like a bull. "Listen, sir, I'm not interested in any of this kind of nonsense. Flesh does not photosynthesize like a flower. Skin, hair, a consciousness, these things are created by cells." The man then interrupted me. "Well, it's all good then." The man held up his hands and stopped me from starting to speak again. "I was just telling you the story, that's all. No need to get all specific," he said. Meredith gave me a little eye roll as if to say, "Asshole. Just be warned. That sun was shining awful bright today," he smiled. "And the day before that, it was shining too." I opened my mouth, but Meredith cut me off. "We appreciate the heads up, sir, we really do." Well, I thought you might. He bowed his head and sauntered off. Good day now. Good day, said Casey somewhat sarcastically. When the man was out of earshot, I whipped around. You two okay playing along with this nonsense? If it means we're not going to be murdered in our sleep, then sure, said Casey. And after that spiel and what the cops thought of this place, you two can stay here if you want, but I'm going to Walhalla. Yeah, I think I'd like that too, said Meredith in agreement. Okay, fine. I was fuming but trying to keep my cool, trying not to be the twice-divorced grump I was inevitably becoming. But if you're taking my car, you'll be back at the crack of dawn to take me to the site, I said. Done. We'll fill it up full tank of gas as well. I should have left with them. Although the doors to the B&B were unlocked, there was no one there. I rang the little bell, but no one came to greet me. Too proud to call them back for a ride, I took one of the second-floor rooms and barricaded the door shut behind me. I slept fine through the night, surprisingly. Although I didn't want to admit it, that ghost town and the bowl-cut man's rantings made me feel like a scared child. The only problem is that when I awoke at sunrise, Meredith and Casey weren't there. I stepped onto the front porch of the bed and breakfast. The town was as empty as the evening before, just some stray animals here and there. The same chickens and a skeptical border collar inspecting me from a distance. I pulled out my phone and called Meredith and Casey. No answer. The sun got higher and dawn was long gone as I began walking down the road. I passed the trail ahead parking lot and stared at where the trail began. It was as if there were a door into the forest, a patch of empty space and the otherwise impenetrable wall of woods. And that door was waving to me. The wind was blowing hard now. The leaves and branches swaying to and from, entrancing me. I stopped walking. Somehow I'd hardly noticed it. My car was in the parking lot. I was fuming now. Did they really not even bother driving the extra 5 minutes to pick me up? I rushed towards the trail in a huff and charged through the brush to the burial site. By the time I got there, my skin was scratched up horribly and I was panting. I was confused but thankful that the gravesite was empty. Meredith and Casey would have seen me in that sorry state and pitied me as some pathetic old man. I stood with my hands on my hips and narrowed my eyes at the bodies. Meredith and Casey were probably just sleeping off a hangover in Walhalla. We'd left the tarp, some dig brushes, and I had a pair of latex gloves in my pocket. I could go ahead and get to work. I knelt and began digging through the bodies. Unlike many older specimens I'd worked with, the bones weren't flaky or fragile and falling apart in my hands. I lifted it and moved a rib cage, and under it was a piece of burned cotton. I began unraveling it carefully. You can imagine my confusion when I saw that it was a modern design, a crew collar. It even had a tag. How could this be possible? On the tag, it was a sweater from the Gap clothing store. I tossed it aside and started picking through the bones in a panic. Did somebody plant this here? Then I noticed that one of them still had flesh on it. It was not yet decomposed. And then another was still warm. I pictured the empty town of Pleasant Falls, a ghost town that was supposed to have 24 residents. How many bodies were in this grave? It was at least close to 24, I thought. I looked further out into the grave and started counting skulls, but I paused a moment later and stood. There was blood. Fresh blood on top of the grave. It was still dripping from the sky. I slowly looked up and hung in the trees with the flayed bodies of Meredith and Casey. They were naked. Their mouths were red ovals like they died dreaming. What happened then was a total blur. I ran back through the woods and the whole time thinking about the man with the bowl cut we'd seen in town. The man that seemed like he was pulled straight from the 1600s. He was playing with us the whole time. The legend he had told had already come to fruition. His words rang in my head. The sun was shining awfully bright today and the day before that, I remembered. His bones were the ones originally buried there. His people, demons or skinwalkers. They murdered the entire town of Pleasant Falls and stuffed them in the very grave they had been buried in. I think they let me live so I could tell the story, so I could try to warn everyone. They're going to kill everyone on this continent. They're back for good. I know who they are, and they're coming. These skinwalkers. They're back for good, and they're coming. Please, everyone lock your doors, because they're going to kill, in an act of revenge, everyone on this continent.